You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Rizzoli and Isles After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Rizzoli and Isles After Show.
I get really excited when I hear this song.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because they're my favorite band, but whatever. Hey guys, Bing is for doing, and what are we doing? We are doing the season finale of the summer Rizzoli and Isles season. We're in season 4, episode 12, Partners in Crime. I'm Chris Lee Kennedy, and I'm joined by two fabulous ladies.
Hey everyone, I'm Tiana Hobson.
And I'm Jennifer Golden.
And I can't stop twirling in my chair, so I apologize if you're watching and it's distracting for you.
I thought you were going to say twerking.
Help it.
No, she wants to.
No. My Miley Cyrus days are over. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a little upset that it's called Partners in Crime. It should have been called, like, Strangers at a Dog Park.
Yeah.
Might have given it away.
Partners in Crime 2 also gives it away because the teaser last week for this episode was like, two homicides. Are they connected? Maybe they are. Of course they are. And then you call the episode Partners in Crime.
See, I didn't see that, so I didn't know that.
Oh. I was wondering why you were like, oh, I think these are connected. I was like, they told us they were.
But you saw the part about Rizzoli and Casey. So that's why I thought maybe you did know about how she was going to have to decide.
I do remember seeing something about her and Casey. But I don't remember seeing the part about the crime. So clearly I was snoozing through the preview. But I guess we'll start with the crime, which there were two tonight. The hot tub electrocution and drowning.
With the puffed, like, the cheese puffs next to them. Like, I just died.
That was like a family-sized Costco bag of cheese puffs.
It was huge.
It was huge.
Huge.
That was some night.
Yeah, but she was also high out of her mind, right. So she was going to eat the whole thing.
That was a crazy night in the hot tub.
Well, I've been told, I don't know, but I've been told when you smoke pot, you get hungry, right?
So that's what people tell
me. That's what they say. And then the second crime was a guy named Mark Cabot, who came from a super influential family, and he was shot in the head, close range, in a parking garage next to his Bentley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are two very different crimes for them to be connected. You know, one was kind of not nice, but a clean kill, you know, with the drowning, no blood involved.
You just said a clean kill. I mean, she was drowned in a hot tub.
She was in water, if that's what you mean by clean.
Well, there was no,
there was no blood or anything. When you take a gun, it's just so violent and shoot someone in the head. You know, there's blood everywhere. There's guts. It's just a dirty crime and a clean crime.
Well, in this clean crime, there was like pink foam. There were Cheetos. There was like a boombox. Who has a boombox?
Cheetah.
Yeah.
That was kind of 1990s.
I mean,
old school.
You would think
iPod dock.
Right. You would think one who has a jacuzzi in their backyard would have an iPod dock or speakers in their surround something.
Yeah, also has a PhD. Can clearly afford an iPod dock.
But I guess if it was an iPod dock, it would have been harder to electrocute her with it. So
right. It had to be actually plugged in to cause an electrocution.
Yes, yeah. So we're thinking way too much about that.
That's logic, police.
Yeah. Clearly, we're not Rizzoli or Isles. So the friend called 911 who was supposed to meet her. The dog was barking and then stopped barking once the killer came. So there were all these, like, weird things. And we were wrong tonight, in a way, because it wasn't the first person they showed. Well, it was, but for opposite reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it was funny because we were trying to figure out. We're like, oh, first person on this one was the friend.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it was the friend.
And then the first one on the other one was those two sisters.
The sister and the wife.
A sister and wife. Sister wives.
Which they were.
Basically. Yeah.
But then it turned out that they were the first we saw, however, for the opposite crime.
They were the first.
Still is true.
And they were the first ones that the officers talked to because we thought it was the 911 call, but no one actually talked to her.
Right.
Jane and them talked to
So it really is. Rizzoli and Isles is meditated, mm-hmm. and they have the first person that talks to the police, and everyone seems to be the killer. You guys are right.
I wonder if this writer is like wrote that on their storyboard, you know, like, hey, this person has to be the killer.
I feel like these types of shows tend to follow a similar pattern, and that, you know, you mm-hmm. fill in like, okay, well, now we have this, now this, and then this. I kind of like it because it has consistency and we sort of like know what to expect.
Yeah.
And it's like comfortable almost.
Yeah. So with her, we know that the husband and wife, they're both in the same, they teach at college and they're both in the same, and she's getting the 10-year and he's not. And there's like, he's cleared obviously for her murder because he didn't do it. And then in the other crime with Mark, they go to the wife and the sister who, are, of course, both cleared for his murder. And he's, like, the guy that everybody hates, but it's I mean, clearly, he has a Bentley, successful businessman, which clearly money doesn't buy you happiness or a good wife and sister. And they talk to – they don't really talk to anybody on Mark's side. Like, they don't actually ever bring anyone in. But mm-hmm. on the hot tub side, they bring in the student who she smokes pot with.
an awesome college professor.
Right?
I mean, she's just – oh, yeah, my office hours are at my house. Come smoke pot with me and get in my hot tub. Sounds very inappropriate.
Yeah, but the hot tub thing, really. Yeah. Like, okay, the pot maybe, whatever, but like the hot tub. Did you have to go there with them?
Yeah.
It's creepy.
The whole thing is.
And her husband stole the student's paperwork to get into the program, that his whatever, his thesis or whatever you want to call it, and then put it out in like a publication as his own, which is why the wife thought it was originally... plagiarized.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand what the point of that was.
How did he get that student? Oh, because it was his advisor.
Yeah. Okay. So he went to him, but he was also smoking pot with her.
That was just to throw us off as though that was a suspect. I feel like they had to have more than one, which was just the husband.
Yeah.
So that was the other one, which was so weird. And the way he talked about her, and he was like, she was like a rad person.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have smoked that string before I did my presentation because it makes me paranoid. So that's why I attacked her. I mean.
Lesson learned. Don't smoke pot.
Okay.
Just say.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
The way they find that the two are connected is because in the hot tub electrocution, there's a dog hair.
That sounds like a hot tub time machine. Hot tub electrocution movie.
Yeah. In the hot tub electrocution movie, there was a dog hair in, was it in her throat? Is that?
They found it in her
Lung mucus thing.
Blah.
The organ. Right. I know, I did too. The bronchitis, the bronchial. The bronch organ.
I am not Maura Iles.
No. The big piece of steak she was playing with.
Yeah, that's what it was steak. I was like, what is she doing with that?
It looked honestly like it had two holes for like a pencil to be put in. Like,
sharpener?
I don't know. It was
arteries?
It was a weird piece of meat is what it was.
I thought they were barbecuing. I was like, why does she have steak?
I was
waiting
for it to go through that meat grinder thing that comes out like, the other way.
That's a different movie. That's a different show.
That's Saw.
Yeah. And it was a German Shepherd hair. Who knew that you could... I mean, I guess you knew. I guess that is something that we know, that you can find out what kind of medicine somebody's on. Mm-hmm. They can find out what it is.
And because the root was there. I always thought that when the root was there, that means it was like... forcibly plucked out. At least my CSI knowledge tells me that on humans, when the root is there, it's something that was like actually yanked out, and that's why you get that follicle there.
But dogs shed, so maybe it falls out with the root.
The dog. I don't know. And dogs are probably different than humans.
I feel like too, like as a dog owner, like I'm super rough with my dog. So when I'm like petting or playing with him, and you're like scratching his head, like I feel like that could cause something to pop out and you wouldn't notice. And clearly, as a dog owner, like I'm covered in hair all the time, and mm-hmm. I don't realize it. So I guess if I was to kill anyone, my dog hair would be found on them. So
it's interesting,
don't kill
though.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Note to self:
don't do that. It's interesting though that when she swallowed their ingested the dog hair, that it had DNA still on it as it went through her body and out.
With the water that she had to swallow after she was dry, like, there was a lot for that hair to still be there.
Oh, to still be in her body or to have DNA on it?
To have DNA on it.
Yeah.
Because the hair itself is DNA.
It doesn't die when it's, like, in that scenario?
No, because the hair, like, your hair is going to have your DNA in it regardless.
It's not like clean.
Because your hair like grows out of your body.
But you feel, but they, if they bleach stuff, right? Everything you can't, like, I'm a big Dexter fan. He bleaches everything so that there's no, you know, evidence. So I feel like whatever they use in a hot tub to make it sanitary, chlorine, you would think that would take that away from the dog hair. I see where you're going with that. Yeah. I totally agree. But they find out that it's the dog, and the dog is registered at a dog park, which I've never heard of in my life.
Who's enforcing that only dogs who are registered can go to this dog park?
I've never been to a dog park that you have to register to get into.
No. I mean, maybe that's a Boston thing. I don't know.
I mean, I'm from the East Coast, and we didn't even have dog parks until a couple years ago. So it's strange, but whatever. And I love that they brought up Hitchcock, Strangers on a Train.
Yeah.
I love that movie. And it is like two strangers. They both want somebody dead, and they make this plan so that, you know, it's the crime that no one will ever find out, which is exactly what happens here. But I thought it was going to be the sister, and it wasn't. It was the wife.
Yeah. The wife was kind of doing it to save the sister's job because
he wanted her off the board,
even though he didn't do any work, apparently.
Right.
And she did all the work. He still wanted her gone.
Well, and the fact that they were lesbian lovers.
Yeah, they were lesbian lovers, too.
Don't forget that point.
I can't.
Which officially makes them all sister wives.
Finally, we get the storyline.
Maybe
wrong
that,
people.
Maybe he found out that his wife was sleeping with his sister, and that's why he was trying to get her off the board.
Possibly.
As, like, a vengeance thing because
so she
of that.
Just axed him.
So she
or
was
shot him.
I feel like you guys are actually talking about that storyline more than they did in the show.
Because they didn't.
Right.
They talked so much about the teacher and the hot tub and all that, and they didn't go into Mark Cabot and the wife and the sister, which to me was the way better story.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so bizarre that they even had two storylines if they were only really going to talk about one.
What's even odder is that there was so much information in the entire episode. Like, beyond the crime, like, so much happened, but yet it didn't. Like, they brought a lot up, but it didn't happen.
I feel like they, like, threw it in the air and then just let it fall.
Yeah, it was really weird. Because they didn't give enough about the wife and the sister, and to me that would have been the more fun story, is that the wife and the sister fell in love, and the husband found out, and, I mean, maybe I should be a writer.
Yeah, I feel like we're talking about it because I still have so many questions about that storyline and what it meant and its purpose. And I think even during the episode at one point, we all kind of were like, what happened to the other murder?
Right. Yeah.
Because they haven't gone back to Frankie and Frost to tell us an update on that.
No, but Frankie did a good job with it, apparently.
He did.
And I think the reason why they didn't is because there was no evidence on that side pointing in any direction. They kept coming to dead ends. But we didn't see them bring anybody in. Like, I felt like they could have made that the other half of the episode.
Yeah. Like, they kept talking about the gym members.
Yeah.
Yes,
which I also thought was weird. It was like, the gym members, 49 guns, and then what? Where are the 49?
Because that's where it happened, and he had enemies, and they were high-fiving each other when they found out he was dead, which is just creepy.
And if they both had lock-solid alibis, they never explained how the wife left the building when she was logged into everything and her car never left. Like, how did she sneak out to go do this? How did he leave his office hours with his students?
Because they happened at different times.
But it was the same night.
No, well, not really. It doesn't show you that it happened the same night because the hot tub clearly happens at night. But the dead guy, they get the call in the morning.
In the morning.
So I feel like they only checked the times of those deaths, right?
Okay.
So they only checked the wife and the sister when Mark Cabot died. They didn't check where the wife and sister were the night before.
Okay.
And the same goes for the husband of the teacher, Rhonda, Linda, one of those.
Rhonda.
Yeah.
Rhonda and Rick.
So they had alibis for the crimes that they were being looked into for until they found out they were connected, which...
I have a question.
Yeah.
At some point, they addressed that the husband could have possibly killed his wife because she let herself go.
That was rude.
That was weird. And, yes, she had Cheetos and smoked pot, but, like, were they saying she did that because she was arrogant and she was more successful? Like, why did she get to be the size that she was versus the picture they showed of them earlier together?
I don't even know why that was an important thing for them to bring up.
I'm so confused by this whole episode.
It was the guys who brought that up. Oh, maybe he did it because she let herself go.
It was weird.
It was the guys who said that, and I was like, ooh, that's kind of... I don't like that.
I feel like maybe they were addressing the elephant in the room, but at that point, why did they even bring it up that she was thin and now wasn't?
Like, why
was that even
show a picture from back then?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It was not needed, I feel like.
This episode was a little weird. Like, the crimes, I feel like, could have been one crime, not both crimes. And even the things they said about each crime was kind of like, so what?
I liked that there were two crimes and that they... I like when there's two separate crimes that seem totally not related and then they find out they're related. So I didn't mind that part. I just felt like they didn't give us enough information on both. Like, they only give us a ton of information on one and not on the other. But I liked both of them.
It just wasn't dark. I feel like if the crimes were a little bit darker and less sort of like, I hate my wife and I hate my husband and I love his sister and I love his wife and, like, I love everyone. Like, I just feel like... The music and the actual, like, dialogue was just sort of like, meh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mind it. I mean, other than the why did they bring up the size of her, I feel like the rest of it was okay. I just wish that they had talked more about the wife, the sister, and Mark. Because I feel like that was a little bit more interesting. Like, you killed your wife because she got a promotion that you didn't want? That kind of sucks. But right. The whole, like, my wife is cheating on me with my sister, and now I'm trying, like, to
that's
me,
drama. That's drama.
Like, that's, like,
well, that's not a reality SVU. Show.
Yeah, like, that's, and more realistic. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that you feel like could really happen as opposed to a promotion. So those are the murders. I loved the Strangers on a Train reference. I love the Hitchcock reference, but I wish they had given us more of Mark Cabot's death. Before we get into all the good juicy stuff, of course, our fabulous founders, Kevin and Maria Menounos, have an amazingly funny movie called The Adventures of Serial Buddies. And if you haven't watched, downloaded, laughed, and then tweeted us to tell us how much you love it yet, go out and do it now because it definitely helps us here at AfterBuzz. And you will thank us after you do.
Yes, you will.
I mean, it's funny.
It is funny.
It's funny.
You should tweet us and tell us how funny you think it is.
You should, totally. So, outside of the crime, so much stuff happens tonight.
Yeah.
And so the first one I guess we'll talk about is Patty Sr., who I kind of missed something at the beginning. Because all of a sudden, they're talking about Patty Doyle and he has a dad, but I missed... I either missed when they addressed it or I was taking a note and didn't pay attention or they didn't address it. So Patty Doyle somehow talked to Maura and told Maura that his dad was dying and to go get him out of prison?
He sent her seven letters in 5 days and she threw out all the ones and then she came up to Jane and was like, I got this letter. And he's like, it's the seventh one in 5 days. And Jane was like, no, throw it away. And she was like, well, I'm kind of intrigued by this right now because he's been writing me so much. So then she opens it and reads it.
And that letter was from Patty saying, my dad's getting out. He's sick. Can you please take him?
Yeah, but like, he's not going to last much longer.
And so that he didn't get into any of the housing things that he was supposed to get into.
Does this really happen? Like, if you're in prison and you're old and you become that ill, do they really just release you to your family? Does that really happen?
I'm not sure. Was it because he was really sick that he was being released? Or I think his parole was just up.
I think it was parole was just up.
And he needed somewhere to go because they won't let you go unless you have a permanent address with someone who they can come check up on you and make sure you're on the right path and not doing things. Or you have to get into one of the houses that are like part of the government ran
assisted living.
Yeah, programs.
So this is the first time we ever hear about Patty Sr. too. I don't remember ever hearing about him.
They even said,
in the past.
Oh, he's still alive. So
yeah.
That makes me think.
And that he was obviously also a mobster. And Maura wants to meet him because, and what I really like that she says to Jane, because Jane is like, no, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. He's a mobster. She says that she'll never not be Patty's daughter. And I feel like, that's something that a lot of people won't understand that she said. Like, I feel like most people would be like, but he's a mobster. He did this. He did all these bad things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you're, especially in her situation where she didn't know either one of her parents, when you don't know someone, whether they're bad or good, you still want to know where you came from.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like that was big of her. I didn't think that she would take him in, but she totally takes him in, and he's nasty to her.
He's so rude to her.
So nasty.
It's like, oh, you shouldn't have even seen the light of day.
Well, he's the one who Patty was hiding her from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense that he's, like, resentful of her existence, considering that he thought she was never alive.
And Jane brings in Casey and the dog, which I thought was – nice of her, seeing that she was so against it in the first place. And they also said that you know, when Casey goes and spends the time with him, that he's just scared because he doesn't know how to live outside of prison anymore because he's been there for so long, which is a really scary thought.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it happens all the time where people will go back to jail. They'll find a reason to get put back in jail because they're more comfortable there than they are in the outside world.
And he's probably, like, and he says it, that there he's still important. Like, mm-hmm. he's a big deal there still. Right. Like, he still has people who will follow him and do what he says there. And he's, like, the king of the castle, yeah. you know?
He runs it.
Yeah. And outside, he doesn't think he's going to survive. And all his friends that he mentions are dead. So I feel really bad for him because, like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, my God, he's so nasty. He's so mean. But then even when he has the heart-to-heart with Jane, and Jane tells him that, you know, Patty's the one who asked Maura to do this, he feels betrayed.
Yeah, he said that, what did he say, that Patty was punishing him and, you know, he had to live out his days. He was still just so nasty, but, I mean, I got where he was, when Casey said, you know, oh, he's just scared and, you know, being on the outside. I could understand that because, I mean, you move to a new city and, you know, it's scary and you have to go out there and put yourself out there. I know that's not the same thing, but I've never been to jail, so that's all I can compare it to.
That was great. That was spot on, actually.
It was. But I feel like he also says within that conversation with Jane that Patty did everything for his dad. Like, Patty did everything, was there until Hope showed up. And then Hope was that. And I feel like that's something that they've never really addressed before. Mm-hmm. I feel like it said to me that Patty almost wanted to be better for Hope and was kind of drifting away from his father mob business because of Hope. And that's when the father put a stop to it.
Yeah, he was getting too soft for the mob.
Yeah.
Falling in love will do that.
It will. I mean, well, when you have other things that are bigger than you that are more important, which is why we even hear Patty say when he was in jail that he would have done anything for Maura and Hope, except claim that he was guilty. But, So, I don't know what to say about that. But, like, that grandfather was mean.
He said, but it's because it's all he knew. You know what I mean? Like, his life, this was all he knew. And it's like, you can't expect him to be a good man now just because he's been in prison. Like, sometimes that happens, but he's still a mobster. He still thinks a certain way. And it's sad that now he doesn't know how to live outside because he doesn't have that to go to anymore.
Right. That's what gave him value in life. That's all he, I mean.
And what's really weird to me is that if you look at, and I didn't think of this until just now, if you look at what Patty Senior is dealing with and going through and the decisions that he's making about life and love and what's more important, it's the same exact decision that Casey and Jane have to make.
Wow.
Which it's really ironic because Patty Senior is saying, like, my life has been the mob, this is that, and love was never important and family was never important. And now we get to Casey and Jane who have all these moments of having to make almost the same decision, but for good reasons.
Right. Their work is good.
But it's showing that it doesn't matter whether you're bad or good. You still have to deal with these same issues, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, the age difference, too. You know, no matter where you are in your life, what point, you still face some of the same issues and obstacles.
Which I guess is why Partners in Crime deals with. And now that I think about it, the Partners
it's like
in Crime,
all the partners.
It's all of it. Because it's like Patty Sr. and the family and the two that were involved in the crime and now Casey and Jane and even Maura having to deal with, like, how do you step aside from being who you are and the doctor with this guy that's kind of a scumbag? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But do the right thing because that's what she's meant to do.
And she does a great job, too. I mean, she was, you know, on it, making sure he had breakfast at 7 o'clock on the dot and even giving him her little form of a pep talk when she took him to the assisted living place.
Yeah.
Where she kind of just yelled at him.
Which is great. Yeah. I love that moment. That was a great moment.
Because she had to. Yeah. I feel like she
learned.
It
was the only way to get through to him. Mm-hmm. You know,
tough love.
Yeah, tough love. She'd been so nice and letting him kind of run all over her. Yeah. And finally she stuck it to him and, you know, it all worked out fine.
Yep. And he had a friend.
I do. I know. And Casey called him James Dean. It was really cute because you do, like, you're angry that he's so mean to her, but then you feel bad for him. Like, I felt really bad for him because of the position that he was in. And I was almost so excited when that woman came over and was like, Patty. And he got excited to see her.
Because I was kind of scared, since he's one of the original mobsters, that, you know, all the people in here remember him and all the things that he did. So I was thinking they might not want to live with him either. What if it was their family or someone that he, mm-hmm. you know, had right. killed That's back true. In the day. But then she was like, hey. And I was like, oh, maybe that was one of his whores back in the day. Oh. So she's excited about it.
You went there.
I went there.
Oh, can you know? Call an elderly lady a whore?
Yeah.
Good.
She might have been back in the day.
Back in the day, she was you know. One of his whores, and yep. now she's excited to see him again because her husband's dead, and maybe they can rekindle some things.
But I also feel like in that generation and in those times, in that area, just as much as New York, mm-hmm. that the mob wasn't a disrespected business, I guess I could say. That's not even the word I'm looking for. They looked up to them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they were good to them because out of fear, probably, but mm-hmm. they did respect them in a way. And
because they did do things for their community yes. to make sure that,
they did
you know,
give back.
They did give back to mm-hmm. the community. So I'm sure he did a lot of good things, right. especially for the people in that area right. specifically.
So he was probably respected by a lot more people than he was hated by, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in that generation. So, but in the meantime, poor Mama Rizzoli gets thrown out of the house, and she walks into Casey and Jane making out.
They were going at it on that kitchen counter.
They were.
It was an awkward moment.
Could you imagine your mom walking in the middle of that?
And I would like not. I just never want that to happen.
No. But he's back a day early. And apparently she sleeps for a really long time and real heavy because he cleaned, he shopped, he cooked, and he did her laundry.
Such a great guy.
I mean, where can I sign up for one of those?
I always knew I loved him. I did.
She called him her wife and said that she always wanted a wife.
Hey.
Hello.
Maura's right
Maura.
There.
Maura. I'm just saying. She said it, not me.
It's true.
She
you raise a good
it.
Point.
I didn't make it up this time. And then they're all so cute and loving, and Jen's like, oh, so cute. And then she goes to work and tells Maura that she doesn't even want him there.
Yeah, I guess. But I was thinking about that, and it's like she's so used to living solo and doing her own things, and, like, he's away all the time. So when he comes, it's, like, almost uncomfortable probably.
It's a lot really fast.
Right.
For me, I was even kind of
suffocated?
Yeah, uncomfortable with it a little bit yeah. because, you
like,
know, you
he was
go from
all
being
up in her space. Like,
yeah.
And I get that he's probably jet lagged and on a different time zone, so he was up really early and that's why he got everything done. But you wake up and everything in your house is done and different.
But it was sweet.
Really, it's a really sweet thing. But then it's also like, oh crap, like you're here. You're
in my space.
Yeah, you're in my space messing yeah. up my routine a little bit. And
she's used to doing things her way when she wants to. She does her stuff, you know? Oh,
I don't know anyone like that.
You related. You did say it.
I totally relate to her because being in a relationship is hard when you're like super independent and you have your schedule and you like your alone time and you mm-hmm. like your space, whether it's messy or not. Like, I relate to that. Like, I have issues with sharing my time and my space with people, no matter how much I love them. Because, like she said, she loves him so much and she wants him there, just not there.
Yeah.
And I totally relate to that sometimes.
I understood that. I was like, I get it, Jane.
Yeah. Because you
not
love
me,
them.
I don't get it. Send him my way.
You like to be suffocated.
Not suffocated, but I do like, let's say, a companion. Or he said he wanted her to feel loved. Love that.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with feeling loved.
No, but he said those actions were to show her that. And I was
yeah.
like,
no, and I get that. And it's you learn to deal. You learn to make it work. Yeah. You learn to adjust your schedule and you learn to do all that. But obviously we don't have that much time in the episode, although clearly they thought we did because they threw everything at us at once, including the kitchen sink. So at the end of her day, they meet at the bar, which he helps with the crime, which I thought was really cool with the dog.
Since she didn't take her day off to spend with him.
She just shows up. He shows up at her job.
Yeah. And then.
Not suffocating at all.
No, not at all. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of Patty so that you can get back to me sooner. And I'm like, whoa.
That's a lot of involvement. Yeah. I think you can't mix business and pleasure. Like, you sort of need like your own thing. If your own thing is different jobs, that's really fab. But, like, they shouldn't mix. Do your own thing.
Oh, see, I don't mind working together. Oddly enough, I don't mind working together.
I know.
Like, I need my own space, but I also don't mind working together. Like,
that
I think
is true.
I like that. And if you work really well together and you both want the same things, which that's one thing that I really liked, because we hear Jane talk about how she doesn't want him there, like her job's really important and mm-hmm. she's all about her job and it makes her really happy, but she still loves him. And he's super supportive of her job. It's not like he's saying to her, make a choice. Like, mm-hmm. he's saying, no, go to work, do what you have to do. This is what you love. And Like, that's really big of him. He's kind of doing all the legwork to make it work, and she's kind of putting on the brakes.
And I think he understands that because he feels the same way about his job.
Right.
You know, he loves what he does so much, and if he were not over here right now, he even found a way to still kind of do what he does in helping Patty while he's on vacation.
Right.
Like, he understands the passion for the job, so
right.
That's a really nice trait to find in
someone. And after, you know, they meet at the bar, which was so exciting at first and then so awkward because he tells her that he gets promoted to colonel and that he's right where he thought he wanted to be, but he has to make a decision because it's his 20 years and he can be promoted to be general, but now he has to make the decision whether he stays or whether he goes, which they don't really give us a lot of information about that.
Mm-hmm. I would have loved more of that.
Like, they don't tell us if he stays, he can't be in Boston. He has to go back to Afghanistan. Like, they don't tell us any of that. They just tell us that he has this choice to make, which I feel like the details of the choice are really important.
Absolutely. Like, okay, so does that mean he still has, like, a job, but it's just there if he's not going to be a colonel? Mm-hmm. Or does colonel mean Afghanistan? I would guess that's what that meant because he only goes there.
Yeah.
They keep shipping him off. It's not, except when he was injured and they put him at that desk nearby, but they didn't really tell us anything, and that's, like, what we've been waiting for is Casey to come back and her to make – even in the teaser, it was like, Jane has to make this important decision. But did she? Not yet.
No, and they made it so – I feel like that's a really heavy moment, and they made it so light.
Yeah.
Because they don't even address any of it, and
– she kind of looked happy, though, about it.
She looked super happy that he had to make the choice almost. Like, it was almost like it took, well, because it took the pressure off her. Like, she'd just been saying all this stuff about not being sure. And then he says that he has to make this decision, which is exactly what she was saying she didn't want to have to do. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it hits her that he may love the army more than he loves her, but then there's almost a happiness in now that she doesn't have to make the decision, he will.
Well, but at the end of the episode, she said that he either goes back or she marries him.
Which I didn't understand because in that bar conversation, didn't he just say that he loved what he did and couldn't imagine doing anything else?
Yes. We never hear the conversation where he says, marry me.
Yeah, we didn't hear that part, but we hear him say, like, I couldn't think of doing anything else but this. But then at the end, it's like, you make the choice. I'll stay here and get married, or we go to Afghanistan. But wouldn't he just be sad and miserable here and be kind of like playing Mr. Mom? Because he said he can't imagine doing anything else.
And by the way, that conversation was so like, hey, it's windy outside. Like,
there was no proposal.
There was nothing. It wasn't like the sky's blue. It was like, by the way, Casey might go back to Afghanistan unless I marry him.
But she did look, when she said that,
she smirked.
She smirked. She had like a twinkle in her eye, and I feel like that's because she had just realized that she thought he loved the army more and his job more, but now he might love her more, but we still don't know what she's going to choose because she didn't actually make a decision, and we didn't see any kind of proposal, and I'm sad.
And the details are important.
Yeah. I would say.
And like, now we
have
to
wait. Planning a wedding? I don't know.
Because we know Maura would be planning that.
Obviously.
They're so not getting married, guys.
No, because then where would the show go?
They're so not getting married.
Right, and there's another season, so.
And so now, so the season just ends like that.
Boom.
Question, roll credits.
That's the cliffhanger, which I was expecting something
dark.
A little bigger.
I don't mind the cliffhanger. I just wish they put more oomph behind
it.
Yeah,
I wanted it like a big romantic scene with Casey getting down on one knee and Jane being like, I don't know what to do, and then fade to black.
No, it was like, it's going to rain tomorrow.
Scene.
It was like, well, should we come back for another episode? Okay.
Yeah. It was like anticlimactic. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Good job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I got like $3 for that word. So, and then the season ends. And we come back for 4 episodes.
In the winter.
In the winter. Right?
Yeah. I tried to look up when that happens and I could not find anything.
They don't really release the date. I don't think they know.
I think last year, like randomly, like Christmas.
Yeah.
It was like January.
The finale was like on Christmas Day last year.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, because I remember.
We filmed it afterwards when we all got back because we were all weird. Really weird. And I feel like it might get moved because of everything that happened. They might need more time because they did just get back to filming and all that stuff. But before we go to the news and gossip for the week, definitely make sure you guys are going on iTunes, rate and comment. We would like 5 stars from you. We would like that. So if you could give us 5 stars, we'd be really happy. And I know Tiana goes and Jen, everybody goes and we read the comments and we try to reply. So definitely keep leaving us comments. We hope that you will come back with us in December, January.
Winter.
We don't know the dates, but winter for the 4 episodes. If you follow us all on Twitter, I'm sure one of us will be tweeting about it when we get close. So, ready for news and gossip.
Oh, yeah.
AfterBuzz.
Thanks, Marissa.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll make the sound. So, Patty Senior on the show tonight is actually a gentleman named Richard Hurd, who is a Southie.
Nice.
Yeah. He was born and raised in Boston. He actually was in and out of the Cotting School in Lexington. He had various ailments, and this is part of the story that he told Nick Thomas at the Boston Globe. He was in the Boston Children's Hospital for a while, and then after Boston, he went to New York, and then he moved to L.A., and he worked in film and television. He was a poet and an artist.
Wow.
Yeah, one of his paintings was accepted in the California Open Exhibition in August.
Cool.
Yeah. So he himself is not too different from the character he played, because he is from Southie, not
other
that he was
the
a mobster.
Right. Other than the mobster part.
But maybe he's nice. I don't know. I hope so.
I would think so.
And it was really good casting. I know Chris Lee said this when we were watching. He looked like Patty
so
Jr.
So much.
It was the eyes, the like bags under the eyes and the Mr. Magoo face. Yeah.
I almost thought that they just aged up the actor who plays Patty.
That's interesting.
I almost thought that, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's not him. But
well, maybe he'll be back.
Maybe. In ratings news, according to the Futon critic, TNT's blockbuster hit Rizzoli and Isles ranks as basic cable's number one scripted program for the week.
Wow.
Yeah, they're killing it with the ratings.
Good.
Yeah. Cold Justice, the show that's based on this, basically, but it's unscripted.
That's the show that airs after this.
Yeah.
That's
the real
based on CSI.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. Based on the girl from CSI.
Oh, fab. Well, they had 3.6 million viewers. And Major Crimes. But all these crime dramas are doing so well. 7.2 million viewers.
People love the crime dramas.
Mm-hmm, they do. And actually, today, I believe. Let me see. Hold on. It is today. Oh, God. Of course, I cut off the date.
No. We'll just pretend
it was
today.
No, it was today. It was today. Sorry. And this is actually a serious thing, so I should have the date. It's September 10 today. Is World Suicide Prevention Day. So
and
first they mentioned Gia and Lee Thompson Young and sports writer Martin Manley and a bunch of other people. And you know, they say never, but for the vast majority, suicide takes place in a context where their thinking can be significantly off rational. And that's why they're, you know, having a day like this, because it's to think about people like that and raise awareness and
let people know that they're not alone
and
that there's support and they just have to want to get out and get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So today is a very important day and it's pertinent to this show.
Yeah.
And to your friend.
Yes. I don't know if we can even do predictions.
My only prediction is that Jane and Casey aren't going to get married.
No. If he even comes back for the next 4 episodes.
Well, because there were no...
previews?
There were no previews. So I feel like predictions, we got a new season.
Right.
Other than that...
It's tough.
There's,
how they'll tie
there's
going to
be four
up.
More episodes.
Yeah.
People are going to die. Rizzoli and Isles are going to find the killers. where can they find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jen the Jew.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Lee. And you can't find me on Facebook because I'm full. And that sounds so cheesy, but you can like my Facebook page if you really, really want to. Thank you guys for sticking with us for this season. And we hope that we will see you back in the fall for AfterBuzz TV. See you soon.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.